Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Israel redeemed, as we pick up in Hosea chapter 13, verse 4. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. And thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. This is, of course, the covenant that God had made with them, the covenant whereby they would be established in the land, the covenant whereby they would be blessed, that they would worship the Lord God and have no other gods. But they had broken that covenant. God said, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When you were in that area where you had to depend upon me, I knew you. You were calling upon me all the time. Always in trouble, always calling upon the Lord. But according to their pasture, so they were filled. When they came into the land and they were in this verdant, fertile land, and they began to be prosperous, and they were filled, and their heart was exalted, then they forgot God. How true it is of so many people. They seek God in the time of trouble, in the time of need, in the time of poverty. But when riches increase, then they forget God. They get all caught up with their possessions. They lose the true perspective of life, and they get their priorities all out of whack. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and I will rend the caul of their hearts, and there will I devour them like a lion, and the wild beast shall tear them. Now, here he is using these animals, talking about how he's going to destroy Ephraim and all. But it brings to mind the prophecy of Daniel, where the lion is Babylon, the bear is the Medo-Persian Empire, the leopard is Greece, and the wild animal is the Roman Empire. So here again, these nations God is going to use as instruments of judgment against Ephraim. And so they were. First, they were subjected by the Babylonians. Of course, with Israel, the Assyrians. Then the Babylonians, and then the Medo-Persians, and then the Greeks conquered them, and then conquered and subjugated by the Roman Empire, the wild beast. And so these very animals that are used in Daniel to represent these kingdoms are used also in Hosea, representing the kingdoms that God would use instruments of judgment against his people who had turned their backs on him. O Israel, you have destroyed yourself, God said. God wants a person to face the responsibility of their own actions. Don't blame someone else for what you are. You're responsible yourself for what you are. You're going to have to answer to God for what you are. O Israel, you have destroyed yourself. Now, they were saying, our fathers have eaten sour grapes and our teeth are set on edge. I said, that's not so. You've destroyed yourself. Your teeth are on edge because you've eaten the sour grapes. You've destroyed yourself. But in me is thy help. Even though a person has made a mess of their lives, yet God still stands by ready to help them. In me is your help. God said, I will be your king. Just turn your life over to me. Turn your life over to my lordship. Where is any other that may save thee in all of your cities? There's no one else that can save you. Turn your life over to God. Let him make your life what he would have it to be. Thy judges, of whom you said, give us a king and princes. I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is as an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. Literally from the Hebrew, coming to the place of birth but not being born. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. The nation was to go down, in a sense, to the grave, which they did. You remember the Lord took Ezekiel to the valley that was full of dry bones and scattered, and God said to Ezekiel, can these bones be made to live again? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. And he watched the bones as they came together, and as they stood on their feet, the skeleton stood on his feet, and muscle and sinew and flesh and all came upon it. And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord, so will I gather together again my people who have been scattered throughout all the world, and I will bring them back, and I will plant them in the land, and I will make them a nation there, and I will put muscle and flesh upon them, and they shall dwell in the land. All right, here again. God said, I will bring them back from the grave. Israel was for 2,000 years without a homeland, scattered throughout the world, nationally dead. But God promised that he would ransom them from the power of the grave, that he would redeem them from death. And so he has. And Israel is now a nation once again as a witness and a testimony of the faithfulness of God to his word. We were traveling in Israel and we picked up a young girl who was in the Israeli army. And my wife began to engage her in conversation. And she said, do you believe in God? And she said, oh, no. My wife said, well, have you ever read the Bible? She said, of course, we have to. It's required reading in our schools. And she said, well, what do you think about the Bible? She said, well, it's just stories that men made up because they have to believe in something. And so they've made up these stories about God so you can have something to believe in. I said to her, why do you think this land belongs to you? She said, well, God promised. I said, wait a minute. You don't believe in God. Those are just stories that men made up because they needed something to believe in. She was sort of taken back. And I said, you know that because of you being in this land, I believe in God? I said, your being here is one of the proofs that this is not a bunch of fairy tales, that this is really the word of God, and that God is true to his promise. I said, otherwise you wouldn't be here now, and you'd have no right to be here. But because God is true to his promises, you are here, and you're proof that God exists. Here God promises, I'm going to ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Paul probably was thinking of this passage in Hosea when he closed off his first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 15. And he said, and then shall be brought to pass the saying probably being this reference here in Hosea, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, but thanks be unto God that through Jesus Christ we have victory over sin. So the sting of death has been removed through Jesus Christ. And he's no doubt referring here to God's destruction of death and grave as a fearful last enemy of man. Though he be fruitful among his brothers, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all the pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women who are pregnant shall be ripped up. The horrible judgment as God pronounces that which is going to happen, not that which God brought, that which they brought upon themselves because they would not turn to God. Don't blame God for the tragedies that befall an individual. God does everything to avert these tragedies and to cause you to avert these tragedies by turning to Him. And God stands there and says, don't do that, that, you know, you're going to get hurt. It's like, say you had a very obstinate, stubborn child that insisted on playing in the street. And you come home and you find him playing out there in the street. And you say, now don't play in the street. It's dangerous to play in the street. And you'd spank your child. But you come home again and there he is playing in the street. And you warn them, you spank them, you punish them, you restrict them. You do everything you can to keep them from playing in the street. And one day they're hit by a car. And they're severely injured. And they say, why did you do that to me, Daddy? I didn't do that to you. I tried to keep you from that. I knew it was dangerous. I warned you it was dangerous. I tried to keep you from it. I punished you. I tried to reprimand you. I tried to correct you. I did everything I could, but you insisted. And so is man. God warns you, look, that path is going to bring you to destruction. That path is going to bring harm. That's going to hurt. And God warns, God reproves, God corrects, God does everything He can to turn you. And still, in your stubborn, obdurate way, you go right on in it. Until those things that God told you are going to result from taking that path happen to you. And then people say, I don't know why God ever allowed this to happen to me. If He's a God of love, why did He allow it to happen? Well, you see, you are the one responsible. Because you've gone against God. God has done His best to keep you from that hurt, from that injury. But you would refuse to listen and hearken and obey. As the prophet said, God speaks to us through similitudes. Years ago, when we were back in Toledo, Ohio, we were ministering to the North End gang there, and we promised them a beach party up on Lake Erie. And so we went up to a beach there in Lake Erie, and the evening we went swimming, and then we built this giant bonfire, and we had wieners and so forth, and we were going to have a party for these kids. And as we built this fire, suddenly the flame attracted thousands of these June bugs. And they started flying into the flame. Well, some of the guys thought that they were going to be helpful and rescue these June bugs from their destruction because they were flying right into the flame and just being, you know, sizzled. And so these guys got out there and they started batting, you know, the bugs that come flying, they bat the bugs back, you know, and knock them down and pick them up and throw them away. And the bugs would just circle and zoom right back into the flame. And these kids were doing their best to keep them out. But with all of the batting and everything else, you know, they'd sort of roll over on the ground and recover and get, you know, just take off and fly right back into the flame. And I said to them, as we started to have our serious time, I said, you remember early in the evening, as you kids were trying to keep the bugs from destroying themselves in the flame, and you did your best. I said, if you were listening, God was speaking to you and telling you that He's trying to keep you from destroying yourself in the fire. He's done everything He can. But if you will not listen, if you will not obey, if you will not hearken, you can destroy yourself, and you will destroy yourself. It was a very heavy message. God spoke to them by a similitude. God uses similitudes often to speak to us. Chapter 14 ends God's plea with the people. His arms are always open. He's always ready to forgive. O Israel, God said, return unto the Lord thy God. You've gone away. You've turned after Baal. You've turned after your idols. You've worshiped the calf. But return. For you have fallen by your iniquity. It has been your ruin. It's been your downfall. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away our iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. God is even putting the prayer in their mouths. He's saying, just call unto God. Ask God for forgiveness. Just say, oh, Lord, forgive us. Take away our iniquity and be gracious to us. For Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in God, the true God, in thee, the fatherless, find mercy. Now God is saying, if you'll but do this, then I will heal your backsliding and I will love you freely. For my anger will be turned away. Oh, just ask. Ask me to forgive your iniquities. Ask me to be gracious to you. And I will love you. I will heal you from your backsliding. And I will turn my anger away. I will be as the dew unto Israel. And he will grow as the lily and cast forth his roots in Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and the smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return and they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I've heard God. I've seen God. I'll have nothing more to do with idols because I've seen the true and the living God. God's promising them all of these blessings. If you'll just turn to me, ask me to forgive your iniquities, ask me to be gracious, and I will do this for you. Now, Ephraim, earlier in Hosea, God said, Ephraim is joined to her idols, let her alone. She's hopelessly bound up in her idolatry. But God foresees the day when they turn back to him. The Bible says in Zechariah, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And in that day, when they look upon him whom they have pierced, and they recognize that Jesus indeed is God's promised Messiah, and they open their hearts to receive him, there's going to be such a glorious reunion as they in love and repentance reach out to God and he in love reaches out to them and restores them. And they do away with idols completely. I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? He shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Who is wise? Prudent, he'll understand this. The ways of the Lord are right. You're wise and you're prudent when you understand that. When you no longer seek to walk in your own way, but you determine that the ways of the Lord are right. And the just shall walk in them, but those transgressors shall fall therein.
return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Joel on our next broadcast. As Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Hosea 13 through 14 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for your love that never ceases, for your mercies that are new every morning, for your grace that you have bestowed so freely, fully, and abundantly upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and drawing us with bands and cords of love unto thyself. Thank you for putting your Spirit upon us. Thank you for showing us your way. Now may we walk in the ways of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you and keep his hand upon your life to guide, to strengthen, to bless. May the Lord be with you throughout all your activities this week. May he minister to your life in such a way that you'll be very conscious of the presence of God. May he just burst upon the scene. And may you just recognize his nearness and his grace and his love and just be overwhelmed by the goodness of God. May the Lord bless and watch over and keep you through Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I'd like to tell you about a book written by Chuck Smith entitled Living Water. In this book, Pastor Chuck explains how God has the power to change your life through his Holy Spirit. This book will help you to understand how the Holy Spirit works in your life, covering such topics as who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? What are the gifts of the Spirit? And how should I respond? It's Pastor Chuck's desire that by God's grace and through this book, the Lord will develop in you a hunger and thirst for the things after the Spirit that will help you come into a deep and personal relationship with Him so that your life will be transformed. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Living Water by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD. That's 800-272-9673.